Our Father, in the name of thy dear Son, we thank you that he is indeed Lord of all. He is worthy of that place of honor. He is enthroned in majesty above. We thank you that he came and that he came with a purpose. He came as a missionary, for the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Help us to grasp something this morning of the uniqueness of his person in order that we may indeed crown him Lord of all, for he is worthy. Receive our thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and speak to our hearts. Amen. Returning this morning to the Gospel by Luke chapter 1. Luke's Gospel chapter 1, and we shall begin our reading at verse 26. Luke 1, 26, concerning the announcement of the birth of our Lord. The announcement by the angel Gabriel. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. When you come to this text, especially verse 35, it reminds me of that which is unique. John 3:16 is a unique text. It says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. John 3:16 is a unique text because it relates to the great love of God. And it relates to the purpose for which our Lord Jesus came into the world. Here in the portion that we read together, it's a unique text. It was spoken by the angel to Mary. It concerned her unique son. He shall be born of her, apart from a human father. The angel called him in verse 35, that holy thing who shall be born of thee. Now, when children are born, we marvel at the birth of a child. We marvel at the activity of God in the birth of a child. And we look at that child and we can say, they're an angel, you know, but it isn't long till we realize they're fallen. But it is so different with our blessed Lord. Our blessed Lord was altogether different. That holy thing which shall be born of thee is what the angel said. That word unique means without equal or without like. The dictionary puts it like this, the only one of a kind. In another place, the dictionary places it single in kind, excellence, matchless. That holy thing who shall be born of thee. This is what the angel said of our blessed Lord. And may I apply this word unique this morning to the person of Jesus Christ. First of all, he was unique in his origin. Unique in his origin. The history of other human beings begins at birth. But not so our blessed Lord. Our Lord Jesus Christ existed eternally as a second member of the Godhead. The Westminster Shorter Catechism, in its definition for the Trinity, says there are three persons within the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These three are one God, the same in substance, equal in power and glory. And therefore, when we speak of Christ, we speak of the second member of the Godhead, the Son of God. He existed from all eternity. He never had a beginning. He always was co-equal, co-eternal, and co-extensive with the Father. Therefore, before he was born in Bethlehem, he lived. He was one with the Father in essence and in being. Before he came to the world in Bethlehem's barn, he walked among men and he talked among men, with men. And we have these occasions outlined in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 18, he spoke with Abraham and Abraham spoke with him. We read in Exodus 33 that he spoke with Moses and Moses spoke with him, as a man speaketh with his friend. The Jews of our Lord Jesus, they protested when our Lord said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, for before Abraham was, I am. The appearances of God in the Old Testament cannot be explained apart from the fact it was our Lord Jesus Christ appearing in pre-incarnate form. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through verse 3 are very important, but I want you to turn. I'll quote Isaiah 6. I want you to turn to John chapter 12. John's Gospel chapter 12 and verse 41. Isaiah 6 says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord high and lifted up. Notice what he says. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings, with two they covered their face, with two they covered their feet, and with two they did fly. And they cried one to another, saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. Here we have a great expression from the Old Testament. Isaiah beheld in Isaiah 6 the glory of the Lord. Now turn over to John 12, what our Lord has to say about this. In John chapter 12, in verse 41, we read this, but we have to go back to verse 38, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? And that's a quotation from Isaiah 53. And Isaiah 53 is a great golden passionate of the Old Testament, which outlines the death and the burial and the resurrection of Christ. Who hath believed our report, and to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he hath blinded their hearts and hardened their, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them. These things said Isaiah, when he saw his glory, and he spoke of him. In other words, when Isaiah said in Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. According to our Lord Jesus Christ, he saw me, is what the Lord Jesus said. Oh, he's unique in his origin. He existed before he came to earth. All things equal to the same thing are equal to each other. And the Lord Jesus of John 12 is the same as the God that Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6. He's unique, friends, in his origin. And when we sing the Christmas carols and we rejoice in the birth of our blessed Lord, remember, he didn't begin then. He always was. But he came, sent from the Father, on a unique mission. But more than that, the Lord Jesus was unique in his birth. There is no doubt about it, friends. The Word of God teaches that Jesus Christ was born without a human Father. If our blessed Lord had not been born supernaturally, without a human father, his nature would be that of an ordinary human being. He would be a child of Adam, just like us. And the scripture says, in Adam, all die. Furthermore, if Christ had a human father, he would have been a sinner like other men, and he would need a savior, just as his mother. For his mother had to say, my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. Just a few verses beyond our Bible reading this morning. Now it was quite natural that in his earthly life, Joseph would be called Father. For that was a common way of expressing a relationship of adopted children and also stepchildren. And you remember in the second chapter of Luke, when our Lord, as a boy of 12, was in the temple. And they had come up for the feast of Passover. And the company had gone a day's journey and they didn't realize he was not in their group. And they returned to Jerusalem, and Mary, when she got the Lord Jesus, she said, your father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And our Lord Jesus gently rebuked her, reminding her of his origin and who his real father was. He says, don't you know that I must be about my father's business? While Joseph was his foster father, stepfather, if you please, God was his father. And Mary, his mother, had allowed the home relationship to crowd out the uniqueness of his birth. He was unique in his origin, friends. He was unique in his birth. He is indeed the virgin-born Son of God. God was his father. But more than that, he was unique in his being. The nature of our Lord Jesus Christ is holiness and love. History has focused upon our Lord as upon no other person. Men have studied his every word. They have tried to analyze his actions and his motives. History has focused upon him. The enemies of our Lord have scrutinized him. Our Lord came to the end of his ministry. And in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 42, he asked the question, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? For in the final analysis, whose son he is determines eternal destiny. If he is the Son of God, then you must worship him. If he's only a man, he's a sinner. He doesn't deserve worship. What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? You see, Pilate had to say, when he had to sentence him to die on the cross, he said, I find no fault in him. He was holy. That holy thing who shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. When you ask people who find no fault in him, and this is a good time of the year to ask it, for the songs that are sung of him. And it's a good thing to ask, do you find any fault in this one whose birth we commemorate, which makes it the greatest and most celebrated holiday of the year? Do you find fault in this man? And if they say no, then you can ask the second question, why don't you worship him? He deserves our worship. It stands to reason that if there is no fault in him, then he is unique in his origin. He is unique in his birth. And he is unique in his being. He is that holy thing who was born of Mary, who is indeed the Son of God. The record stands. Jesus Christ is unique in his being. And we sang one of my favorites this morning. 'Tis the Lord, a wondrous story. 'Tis the Lord, the King of glory. At his feet we humbly fall. Crown him, crown him, Lord of all. Have you? Is he your Lord? I can tell you how you can answer that. Do you obey him? When you find one of his commands in the New Testament, do you want to obey it? Or do you think it doesn't mean anything? All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Do you want to obey him? Or do you think it doesn't matter whether you do or not? He's unique. He's one of a kind. You cannot bypass him. He's the Lord of glory. More than that, our Lord Jesus is unique in his doctrine. He could say, I am the truth. That means he's the very revelation of God. John 14:6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The words of our blessed Lord have stood the test of history without being refuted. The soldiers had a say when they came back without him, never man spake like this man. The Lord Jesus could point to Old Testament scripture and he could say, the Old Testament speaks of me. Search the scriptures, he said in John 5, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Our Lord's teaching compassed the past, the present, and he spoke of the throne of God. He spoke of the future of the ages. He could look down through the ages to the time of his return, and he could say, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory and shall sit upon the throne of his glory, then shall be gathered to him all nations. He could speak of the past. He could say, Moses spoke of me. He could speak of the present. He could say, I am the Son of God. He could speak of the future when he shall return in power and great glory. He's unique, friends. He's the greatest teacher of all time. Never man spake like this man. Furthermore, the Lord Jesus was unique in everything that he did. When he met sick people, he healed them. When he met blind people, he cured their blindness. When he met demon-possessed people, he cast out the demons and he delivered those who were so oppressed. He spoke to the wind and the disciples said, what manner of man is this that even the winds and the waves obey him? Can you imagine a being who could speak to Hurricane Hugo and say, peace be still, and there's a great calm? The Lord of glory did. He's unique in all that he did. He was master over death. He proved it. He raised Lazarus from the dead, who had been dead 4 days. He alone faced his enemies, and they were afraid of him. And yet little children gladly received him. He was unique in all that he did. But more than that, he was unique in his death. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was surrounded by soldiers who had come to take him, he said, who are you looking for? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he stood forth and he said, I am. And when he said those words of majesty that were revealed to Israel at the burning bush through Moses, the soldiers fell down backward and were powerless in his presence. But he had come to die, and therefore he is unique in his death. And he is unique in his death because in John 10 and verse 17 he said, no man taketh my life from me. He proved that. He proved that, for there in the garden, the soldiers couldn't take him. No man taketh my life from me. He said, I lay down my life. I'm the good shepherd, and the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. And I tell you, beloved, this is something that those who are in Christ can rejoice in. No man can take our life either. Those who are in Christ. And those who are in Christ are not going to die before their time. Before it's my time to go, and if it isn't my time to go, there isn't an army that can take me. And if it is my time to go, there isn't a team of doctors that can keep me. I belong to another. Our Lord Jesus was unique in His death. For in His death, He's a Prince of Life. That's what He is. He said, I laid down my life. No man taketh it from me. When He died, He spoke clearly and distinctly. When men die, their voice is exceedingly weak. A lot of times I can't understand what they're saying, if they're trying to say anything. But not our Lord. The gospel accounts tell us He cried with a loud voice. It is finished. And He dismissed His spirit. You see, He's unique. He's one of a kind. No one ever existed like He before. He cried with a loud voice. And then we cry out, why did He die? What was the cause of death? What will the doctor write on the death certificate? The wound by a spear? No, that took place after He died. Was it the physical suffering? No, it wasn't the physical suffering. What was it? Isaiah 53 verse 10 says, it pleased Jehovah to bruise Him. He laid on Him the iniquity of us all. And when He had finished the work, friends, when He finished the work that He came to do, and He came in order that Jehovah might lay on Him the iniquity of us all, and He would bear the judgment of it in His own body on the tree, and therefore come between us and the sword of divine justice. And that sword of divine justice which should have entered into us and slain us, entered into Him. Jehovah lifted up His rod. O Christ, it fell on Thee. Thou wast sore stricken of Thy God. It bore the storm for me. Thy form was scarred. Thy visage marred. Now cloudless peace for me. Oh, He's unique in His death. Peter acknowledged this on the day of Pentecost. He acknowledged it. He says He was delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Acts 2, verses 22 and 23. You see, the death of our Lord was on behalf of sinners. Our Lord was unique. He died for others. And oh, I'm so thankful this morning that I have made it personal. He died for my sins. He died for me. And when you examine the death of our blessed Lord there at the cross, He dismissed His spirit. He had said, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it again. He was unique in His death. But more than that, our Lord Jesus was unique in His resurrection. The tomb of Muhammad lies at Mecca. The tomb of Confucius is in a cave in a sacred hill in China. But our Lord Jesus Christ alone has been raised from the dead, and He has been raised to die no more. He's a victor over death. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 10 says that Christ hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Why is He unique in His resurrection? Why, because it was impossible for death to hold Him. That's what I read in Acts chapter 2, verse 24. Death cannot keep His prey. Jesus, my Savior, He tore the bars away. Jesus, my Lord, He's unique in His resurrection. Oh, friends, He's unique in His origin. He ever was. He ever was. Co-eternal, co-extensive with the Father. What a person. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. He's unique in His origin. He's unique in His birth. He was born without a human father, unique in his birth. More than that, he was unique in his being. They couldn't find no fault in him. That holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He was unique in his doctrine. He made himself the very center of Bible teaching. The whole of the Bible converges on one spot. Jesus Christ, the Lord. He was unique in his works. He was master over disease. He was master over demons. He was master over death. He was master over the wind and the waves. He was in control of every situation he was ever in. He was unique in his death. He dismissed his spirit. He was unique in his resurrection. He arose triumphant over death. Is there any wonder in what he can do for you? What is your need today? What is your need? The Apostle Peter, when he wrote, he said, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. I'll tell you what you need. You need someone who can deal with your past. God requires that which is past. He's the only one who can deal with your sin. No one else can. It must be dealt with. You have to deal with Jesus Christ. He's the only one who can deal with your present situation, no matter what it is. You see, our Lord Jesus does not save you in your sins. He saves you from your sins, the present. Your past, your present. But what about your future? If there's any time that you're going to need him, it's in your future. And the future of the child of God is as bright as the promises of God. The one who said he was coming the first time came. We celebrate his birth, friends. But that very one is coming again. He said, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. We may not see Christmas Day. We may be in glory by Christmas Day. And when I say we, I'm speaking of the people of God. You may not be among the people of God. You may be an outsider to the things of God because you've never been born into the family. You need this unique person, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is indeed the Son of God, the Savior of sinners. He is Mary's unique son. He was born without a human father. God is his father. Are you his? How about it? You may be too proud to own that you need him. But if you're here without him, you desperately need him. You need him more than you need a noon meal. You need him more than you need anything else. He's a great gift of Christmas. He's a gift of God. And he, with him comes eternal life. And that life is in Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you don't have him, you may have everything else. But you're poor. C.S. Lewis, that great English writer, put it like this. You know, we often hear the expression about certain people, they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. You've heard that. C.S. Lewis says, the only people who are earthly good are those who are heavenly minded. The more heavenly minded you are, the more earthly good you are. And then he added this. The person who lives for heaven has the world thrown in with it. The person who lives for the world misses both. How about it? What are you living for? The unique person of Jesus Christ. says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Have you come? Will you come to him? Join me in singing, Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ Lord. Oh, let's pray. Father, we thank you for your unique Son. We thank you that he's indispensable. He's indispensable to life. He is indispensable to everything that we so desperately need. Deliver us from pride or anything that would keep us from coming to him and owning our need and receiving the gift of God, which is eternal life. Upon thine own that have truly believed in thee, may thy grace, thy mercy, and thy peace abide with a new sense of who this blessed one is, the glory of his person. Then, Father, may it please thee to take us to our respective homes and gather us again together to rejoice in him, the blessed, unique one of all history, thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll thank you in his worthy name. Amen.